in the program, and I would suggest that Workfare, there are some programs that there is at least one in Ohio where they've had significant impacts by using a Workfare program similar to the one that's being set up here, and that I would agree that some of the Workfare programs that have been done in other states have not shown significant effects one way or the other. However, they do not have the stringent requirements that are in this particular bill, and I would again oppose the amendment.
Additional debate on amendment number one. Being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please, excuse me, Representative Hoffman from NADA. Any other member, will the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 22 nays.
And so, amendment number one has failed to be adopted. Representative Sitton.
Oh, thank you, Madam Speaker. Earlier, I wanted to introduce a friend of mine from Fairbanks. His name is John Regitano. He was in the Paratrovich Gallery. I don't know where he went, but he's executive director of Fairbanks Native Association, and as you can well imagine, he's taking a lively interest in the budget deliberations underway down here. So if he's in the hallways, we're glad to have you, John, wherever you are.
Representative Navarre, you're seeking the floor. House stand at ease. Next, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number two by Representative Bryce, beginning page one, line three.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to remove amendment number two for the benefit of amendment number three.
Is there objection to amendment number two being withdrawn? Hearing none, amendment number two has been withdrawn. The clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number three by Representative Hanley, beginning page four, after line 19.
Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, I move amendment number three, and I'll briefly address it.
There is objection to amendment number three. Representative Hanley, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, what this amendment does is tells the department that they shall, for the workfare portions that are appropriate, contract with organizations that are already out there, and this is trying to get to the point we do not want to hire as many people as we can. And in fact, the Fairbanks Native Association does a very good job in very similar types of things that they already do. And I think it would be very appropriate for the department to contract with those types of organizations to provide the workfare services, and I think they'll do as good or better job than the state organizations would do. So that's what this amendment would do, is say that if organizations do exist that provide these services, that they shall offer contracts to them for implementing those particular portions.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The reason I had removed amendment number, or deferred amendment number two to the precedence of amendment number three, I guess, is because in amendment number two, basically we were just applying the provisions of amendment number three specifically to the Fairbanks area. Amendment number three makes it throughout the state where the projected demonstration areas or demonstration project areas will be offered. With that, I think what we're trying to do is to ensure that those existing programs that have proven to be successful and getting people off AFDC and providing them with long-term employment and the training necessary to attain that goal, we want to encourage that type of activity versus discourage, long-term reliance on state support. And I believe that we do have, at least in the Fairbanks area, a very well-established employment services program that, if the state were to be able to go out to contract for these types of training, literacy work, resume work, and the various other things, I think that we'd go a long way in helping to start to address the problem.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think that it makes sense. The reason I objected to it is that there are also a number of very successful job training programs in other areas of the state that, while not being allowed into the project area or having only a certain area of the state, which is basically Anchorage, Fairbanks, Mat-Su, and one rural area to be determined, all those areas would have the benefit of the dollars that are being saved and the contractual opportunities that are being provided, but other successful programs in other areas of the states would be excluded.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I had a couple of questions about Amendment Number 3. Do we envision competitive bidding when the department is giving out these contracts? And I ask that because if you look at the first sentence that's proposed, it's talking about it's a shall. The department shall offer contracts to organizations that have had successful experience in conducting employment placement, community service, or job training programs. So, you know, are they to screen then and say only certain people are eligible to bid, or are they to do a negotiation with those that in their judgment have had successful experience, or how will this work? It's my impression that there may be more than one organization in Anchorage that would meet these criteria, and I'm wondering how the author of the amendment envisions that this would be handled.
Representative Hanley.
I would envision it going in the same manner. This is what they somewhat anticipated to do anyway, and the fiscal notes are based around doing this, and I would suspect that they would look to the organizations that meet the requirements in this and probably do some, if there are more than one that meet it, have to do some kind of competitive bid process where they would choose between them.
Madam Minority Leader.
We have a brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
House, please come back to order. Prior to the time we stood at ease, we were under debate on Amendment Number 3. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. On the amendment, we're concerned about a competitive basis, and I think, to clarify, contracts over $25,000 already have to be done by the department on a competitive basis, but for those that are under, I would offer to amend this to say that the department shall offer, this is on line 3 of the amendment, on a competitive basis, contracts to those organizations. And if I could amend my amendment, Madam Speaker, and ask if there's any objections.
Does the body understand the amendment to the amendment, and does the clerk understand it?
If you would repeat it one more time, please.
Would you please repeat it with the clerk, see if she's able to take it down?
Yes, Madam Speaker. It would read, the department shall offer on a competitive basis contracts to those organizations, etc.
Does the clerk have it down, and is she able to understand it without it being placed in writing?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Do members of the body understand it without it being placed in writing? Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? There being none, the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. Put Amendment Number 3 before us. Is there further debate on Amendment Number 3? Being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, Amendment Number 3 has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment Number 4 by Representative Brown, beginning page 1, line 2.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 4.
There is objection. Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you. Amendment Number 4 would remove the reductions to the Adult Public Assistance Program from this legislation, leaving the adult public assistance payments at their current level. Madam Speaker, I'm proposing this because I don't think it's appropriate to include the recipients of adult public assistance in this so-called welfare reform package. When we think about who these particular individuals are, I think you might, I would hope you would agree that they ought to be removed and their payments ought to continue. These are frail, elderly, blind, or disabled adults who are essentially indigent. They are the very poorest of our citizens. There's 9,829 of them, and their benefits are going to be reduced about $5.45 per month would be the average reduction. Madam Speaker, the total effect of this amendment, if we were to adopt it, would be to reduce the amount of savings by $321,000. So it's not a lot of money when we look at the whole and the whole program and the whole bill, but it is directed at a group of our very poorest people who will not be able to be benefiting from the waivers and the other benefits that potentially could accrue to recipients of AFDC under this bill. It's unlikely that these adult public assistance recipients are ever going to be able to be part of the workforce, and therefore it's really not appropriate to include them in welfare reform. When we discussed this matter in the Finance Committee, the department's only reason for not wanting, or that I heard, for not wanting to take them out was that they wish to keep AFDC and adult public assistance tied together. And therefore, if we're going to have a reduction in one, we had to have a reduction in the other. But I don't really think that's appropriate. I think it doesn't make any sense to reduce these benefits to our very poorest elderly, blind, and disabled citizens, and therefore I'd urge your support for Amendment Number 4.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hadn't even stood yet. If I could describe a little bit about the whole rateable reduction. There is a rateable reduction in the bill. It applies both to AFDC and adult public assistance people. It is 1.7% on average of both. When I went to the department and asked what I had hoped to do was structure a bill that would cover the costs fully of implementing this particular program. There are about $1.7 million worth of expenditures for child care when people have the workfare and when they have community service work, as well as transportation and some administration. The intent was to cover the administrative costs with a rateable reduction. I talked to the department. They did express an interest in including both adult public assistance and AFDC recipients. The concern was the growing gap between the percentage of poverty that's paid. Currently in law, under our benefit system, we pay about 74% of the poverty rate to those people that are on AFDC. Adult public assistance people receive about 110% of the poverty level. And their concern was that to reduce the AFDC recipients to in the neighborhood of 70% and leave the others at 110% was not appropriate. For that, they wanted to keep them on a relatively similar level. And I guess you could say, is it more important if we're going to make reductions and we got to make that tough choice? Some people are blind, but does it make more sense to pay a single mother with a child at 70% of poverty when someone else is getting 110% or more? I would oppose Amendment Number 4.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In looking through the bill pack this weekend, trying to figure out and crunch out the new numbers of the finance version versus the Hess version, I came across the fact that there was no APA fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services with relation to HB 409 finance. So I went ahead and crunched the numbers without the APA fiscal note. And over the term of the project, we still end up $1.1 million in the good, $1,176,200. Savings if we leave APA out. I still believe, Madam Speaker, that it is an absolute red herring to connect APA, which is for public or for blind, disabled, and economically marginal seniors, with AFDC. I believe that saying that the gap of poverty for one group should be tied to the gap of the other group. It's still a comparison of apples and oranges, and the department has not been able to come up with a logical rationale as to why they should be tied together. And with that, I would support the amendment, Madam Speaker.
With House Standing Days, Representative Larson, could you come up here, please? House, please come back to order. We are a half an hour past our normal time that we would recess for the committees to do their business. I have gone ahead and gone to 12:30 so that we wouldn't have so much left tonight. However, we will hold the pending amendments, and we will recess now until 5 o'clock so the committees could do their work. House, please come back to order. Prior to the time we stood at ease, we were on amendment number 4, and we were under debate. So further debate, Representative Brown, you have the floor.
I'll be brief, Madam Speaker. What I did want to do was correct something that I said earlier. I had misread this fiscal note in the analysis where I stated that the total reduction cost, or the cost of this amendment, would be $321,000, and that is true in FY95, but that really represents one half of a year because of the way this program is starting up. So in the future, it would be about twice that amount for a full year's funding, and that's not what I exactly stated earlier, so I wanted to bring that to the body's attention. Madam Speaker, I do think that this amendment, we should adopt it and make the benefits remain the same for the elderly, blind, and disabled adults who now get public assistance payments.
So further debate? I'll stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Is there further debate on amendment number 4? There being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
18 yeas, 20 nays.
And so amendment number 4 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 5 by Representative B. Davis and Brown, beginning page 2, line 3.
Representative Davis.
Madam Speaker, I move amendment number 5.
There is objection. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The amendment that you have before you is designed to reduce the amount of money that would go into the general funds that would be received from the rate of reductions to pay for the program and then have some money left over to go into the general fund. I think that we should be concerned about poor people, particularly those who are on welfare, the children that we have on welfare. And to take this money to pay for this program is not the correct way that we need to go. In fact, as I was searching around through the various states to find out if this had been done, no one could identify to me that they had taken ratables to pay for a program that they wanted to implement in order to reduce the rolls of welfare. I know that there are people in this room that think that we pay a lot of money for welfare because our rates are higher than most states, but when you think about where we live and what it costs to live here, it's not that much money that a person would receive for a mother and child to receive $800 and some dollars a month. Of course, they do get some food stamps. But in the lower 48, many of the states have housing available to people that are on welfare. Some people don't pay anything to live in the housing. Some pay as little as $2 and $3, $6 per month. In Alaska, we don't have those kinds of luxuries, so a lot of the money that they get go towards housing. What I have asked to be done in this amendment is to reduce the rates to 0.7 rather than 1.7, and there would still be enough money left to administer the program for the workfare and the waivers that are requested. I do believe that this would be in the best interest of not only the people that are on the welfare, but the people that really care about what we do for our families in this state. We have more and more children going below the poverty line every day. And this would just even cause them to go even further because when you take the money away from the family, you're actually taking it away from the children, the clothing that they need. It will keep them from buying many of the necessities that we might not think very much of. But I know that many of us could not even think about living on such small amount of money and being able to make ends meet. And to say that we don't, that they don't deserve to have this money is a wrong statement to make. And I would encourage my colleagues to look at the numbers and agree that even though you might want to use part of the money, which I do not support, the 0.7 is a better solution to resolving the amount of money that is needed to pay for the workfare and also to pay for the waivers that we are requesting. So I urge you to vote for amendment number 5.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First, I would note that President Clinton has, and we'll get into this later, one of his possible ways of paying for his welfare reform is they're going to tax all welfare benefits. So I wouldn't suggest that that's not a Republican asking for that. That's a Democrat trying to do some welfare. And we can go into some of the other things that the president suggested. But with this amendment, it would basically reduce by about $1 million a year the savings from the ratable reduction. So it would cost a substantial amount. As I mentioned before, it's about $1.7 million a year to implement the program with child care, transportation, administrative costs, et cetera. We would actually appropriate out of the general fund about, in the first year, approximately $200,000, $1.1 million in the second year, about $100,000 in the third year. And we might see, and then hopefully the savings that are kicking in the final years would generate some savings. My intent with this was not to have to appropriate millions of dollars for that and to come up with this. I understand the concern. I think it's a tough decision to make to try and make a ratable reduction to try and pay for the cost of the program. I didn't find any other way that made a lot of sense to do it, and so I would oppose this particular amendment.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I guess my concern about this approach is that to have the ratable reduction pay for this program is great if the program were available to everybody. At least it would be fair. At least it would give to everybody an opportunity to participate and maybe get on with a new way of looking at things. But to have only the program in a few communities and only available to some people and not to everybody is very much a tax on everybody who's on the welfare program paying for the program being available to only a few. And so, Madam Speaker, I really think that it is an inappropriate way to pay for the program. I think the sponsor of the amendment is at least making a step in the right direction to cushion the blow a little bit, and I would urge members to vote yes.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a question to the sponsor of the bill with respect to this. If as I thought I heard him say that the amount needed in the first year was $200,000, why wouldn't we phase in this reduction in the ratables at a commensurate rate?
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. My concerns that we're reducing the payments too far show, I think, are indicative of the fact that if we're going to have this program, okay, let's pay for it out of the ratables, but let's not also go ahead and cut back our ratables even further than what is necessary. I think that the amendment is a positive step into making the program revenue neutral and doing less harm to those who are on AFDC as well as APA, which is a group of people who won't even have the opportunity to participate in this in these programs, but yet are paying for it. I believe that it's very important that we look at measures that make the bill revenue neutral, and I think this amendment helps address that.
Additional debate on amendment number 5, Representative Hanley. Or you want Representative Brown?
Well, this is not so much a question as a statement, Madam Speaker. I just hope people will keep in mind who the recipients of adult public assistance are. A great many of them are children. I think it's about two-thirds of them are children, poor children. This is truly milk money for poor children. I know we have a serious budget problem, but I do not believe the priority should be here in making reductions. As the body is aware, we made pretty substantial reductions in this program last year, and as long as we have as many subsidies to business in this state as we do, I don't see how we can justify making more cuts to these payments for poor children and mothers.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First, to the phase-in, it's a bit difficult these are anticipated costs, number one, and to try and to go from I guess it would be a 0.6%. It is kind of phased in. The ratable doesn't take place until halfway through fiscal year 95, so that's why it's a half-year ratable reduction. We would probably have about a 1.0% reduction for 1 year, then we'd go to about a 2.0% reduction the year after that, and then we'd go to a 1.7% reduction the year after that, and down to a point something the year after that. It made more sense to have one level, make the reduction, and restore it at the end of the program, which is what this does.
Additional debate on amendment number 5. Being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll. Any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board.
16 yeas, 22 nays.
So, amendment number 5 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, have additional amendment on her desk.
Amendment number 6 by Representative B. Davis, beginning page 1, line 3.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I move amendment number 6.
Yes. There's objection. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. Madam Speaker, I have proposed this amendment in order to add some more incentive into the program that has been introduced to you in House Bill 409. There are a series of states at this time who are allowing people who are on public assistance to separate their personal income away from maybe a business account that they might be able to set up in order to start a small business of their own, where they may become self-employed. These are some of the things that are being talked about by the task force that's working on some of the changes that will be introduced in a bill that will be presented by President Clinton sometime in April. Some states are allowing as much as $15,000 and $20,000 to an individual to set up a business account. In this particular amendment, I ask that it be limited to $10,000. It would allow the recipients of this program to receive benefits and training and small business loans in order to accumulate enough money to start a business. We would have to acquire a waiver to do this. And since we are already applying for the waivers, I think it is a good time for us to ask for this particular waiver while we are seeking the rest of the waivers that we're going to get. We know that there is not enough jobs that have been identified to put people to work because even when the jobs program is out there working, they don't always come up with enough jobs, identified jobs for people to go and do meaningful work. And so we need to do some things that can create jobs. And it's nothing better than trying to help individuals help themselves. Many of the people that come into welfare come with many skills and have great desires to do more than be on welfare. This would be able to assist these families in coming off of welfare so that they may be self-sufficient on their own. And I would encourage the members of this body to support this amendment.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The sponsor of this amendment brought this to me this morning. I'm trying to still find out information about it. I generally support the intent, I think, of the of what it tries to do. I've talked as much as I can to the department. This is a holiday for some of the department people. I don't have the fiscal impacts. There is some, I think there's a discrepancy in the actual amendment in that I think it applies this particular waiver permanently where the whole, and it would be a waiver where all the other waivers in this particular bill are after the five-year program are repealed. And there's a question about the number that the people that may qualify for this are so small in numbers that the federal government may reject the waiver because there aren't enough to have a control group and a test group. I don't know enough about this particular amendment, the cost of it, and what the implementation would be to have a real rational approach to whether I, at this time. So I, at this point, I would oppose the amendment, although I will continue to work on this and see what the impacts would be.
Additional debate? Being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 21 nays.
And so, Amendment number 6 has failed to be adopted. The clerk please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number 7 by Representative Bryce, beginning page 4, line 14.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment number 7.
There is objection. Representative Bryce, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A lot of the debate that's taken place today revolves around various aspects of, doing other alternatives to workfare. Amendment number 7 tries to address certain aspects within the workfare program itself. One of my biggest concerns with the workfare in Section 6 that I have is that at no point in time is the participant taken into consideration outside of they shall be assigned a job to go do. I believe Amendment number 7 will go a far ways in addressing that concern. I think it provides a much more humanizing aspect to the whole workfare program by allowing the participant to be involved in the decision making about what possible uncompensated activities they'll be participating in the development of a long-term employability plan and various other things that are definitely important to getting a person off welfare.
Additional debate on Amendment number 7. Being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 22 nays.
And so, Amendment number 7 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 8 by Representative Bryce, beginning page 4, line 13.
Representative Bryce, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment number 8.
There is objection. You have the floor.
Thank you. This amendment comes about from the experience I had over the interim when the department implemented a community work experience program in Fairbanks and started this type of program on a trial basis. Some concerns from some of the participating nonprofits that were brought to me related to the fact that many of these people who were chosen to work in the community work experience program had no background, no understanding of what they would be doing or where they would be doing it or what their responsibilities were, and thereby there was concern over whether or not these people would be productive members of a team at a local area nonprofit, or they would be sort of a hindrance to the efficiency of our nonprofits. The suggestion was by the organizations were that an organization like the United Way Volunteer Action Center could devise a short, sweet program, sort of like a primer or some other type of small seminar that these people could attend to ensure that the nonprofits would get somebody who understands what they're being, who understands what their processes are, what's required of them, what's expected of them, and how they can possibly use this type of experience in the world of employment. So with that, Madam Speaker, I believe Amendment Number 8 would do a good deal to also bringing the person into the, bringing the participant of workfare into the role of the decision making and help provide a more humanizing aspect as well as Thank you.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's a little bit counter to the amendment with number three. I would just note that because we're going to have the nonprofits contracting where possible, they're going to devise these types of things. I don't want to give the department the requirement to develop a lot of this stuff when we're trying to get it pushed into the nonprofits. You know, because we said they shall contract with these agencies that are out there before. So I'd just soon not have this, which is now going to add another responsibility for the department if we've got a nonprofit doing it.
Additional debate? Being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote? Representative Carney? Does any other member wish to change their vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
17 yeas, 22 nays.
And so, Amendment Number 8 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon our desk.
Amendment Number 9 by Representative Bryce, beginning page 4, line 16.
Representative Bryce.
I move Amendment Number 9.
There is objection. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. All Amendment Number 9 does is add labor organizations and local area nonprofits to the group of folks the state will approach as far as or approach when trying to determine when or what type of activities will be done by workfare participants. This would probably be more or less relevant to those areas when there is no nonprofit that will be providing the activity in sections A of section or subsection A of section 6. It doesn't apply.
Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, I don't have a particular problem with this, although I would suggest that what it says now is the department shall consider activities recommended by governmental representatives of boroughs, cities, and communities in the area. It's trying to get to the governmental organizations that are there. If we want to add and others, I wouldn't have a problem because I think there's some very, it just says they shall consider, and I think they probably will, but activities recommended by them. And I think there are some for-profit companies that are maybe offering jobs to some of these people, part-time or paid jobs that should be considered as well. So I don't know that we want to limit it to we were just trying to get at the governmental representatives to make sure there was some governmental coordination with people. I don't have a problem with labor organizations, nonprofits. I would suggest that it just say, if somebody, the department shall consider activities recommended by governmental representatives of boroughs, cities, and communities, and any others in the project area rather than that, just so it's clear they have to, if people come to them with suggestions, they're supposed to consider those activities.
Representative Bryce, do you consider that a friendly amendment?
Yes, I do.
Does the clerk understand it?
No, Madam Speaker.
Would you please repeat it, Representative Hanley?
Actually, I think it would be after communities.
Line, please.
It's line 16, page 4, page 4, line 16. After communities, you would insert and others in the project area.
Does the members understand? Does the clerk understand?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Is there a need from the body to have it in written form? There being no need, is there objection to the amendment as amended? There being none, the amendment as amended has been adopted. Clerk, please read next amendment.
Amendment Number 10 by Representative Bryce, beginning page 4, line 10.
Representative Bryce.
Move Amendment Number 10.
There is objection. Representative Bryce, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With relation to the amendment that we, I believe it was Amendment Number 3 that we passed earlier this morning, I believe it might be appropriate to go through and in section 6, the workfare section, which starts on page 4, where there's statements of an uncompensated activity, include training in that discussion. So it would read an uncompensated or training activity, which would probably bring it into the line of the intent of the representative from District 12's amendment this morning.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm having a little trouble with this one. I thought I understood it before. We had checked with legal, and there was a concern that there might be a insinuation that training activities would have to be paid because there's a differentiation between uncompensated and training activities. Uncompensated activities not currently defined. We had testimony that they will do some training, and that will be in their regulations. There's other exemptions for training under the jobs program already, which would allow them to be exempted from the workfare portions, including education, full-time student. I'm not real clear on this. I understand the intent, but I'm because of the observations by our legal counsel, I'd be opposed to it at this time.
Additional debate being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
18 yeas, 22 nays.
So, amendment number 10 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.